Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
And oh, just like that river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Telling me don't hang around. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. So now I go to my and I say, brother, help me see. But somehow he winds up knocking me back down on my knee. Well, there were times I thought I wouldn't last. I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Yes, it will. Oh, I know a change gonna come. I said I know.
Salam alaikum! For those of you who may wish to participate, bloodshed. This show was supposed to have aired 2 days ago, but there's some things that have come up in my family that I have to take care of. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, if you don't love your family, you shouldn't have one. All praise is due to Allah. And the way you treat family is a reflection of how you will treat God, how you treat your nation. So some of us, we have to examine ourselves or re-examine ourselves, because this is a time of universal change. This is a time now for us to be reaching out for one another and inviting them to come hear the word of Elijah Muhammad, because we are in the climax of the judgment. We're in the fulfillment process of what all of the prophets had predicted to come. And we see it happening everywhere. The markets are going crazy. The Middle East is blowing up into a hellish bonfire. And here at home in America, if you can call it home, there's hell on top of hell on top of hell. As we can talk about the situation here in America, but first I want to lay something down with you. I remember when Brother Saladin was teaching me, and he had me to himself, and he said, "Brother, let me tell you something. You see how the devil is killing us? You see how the devil is locking us up? You see how the devil is discriminating left and right? This is nothing compared to when he knows that he is at the end of his rope. Allah gave him rope to hang himself. And now we see the noose is no longer around the ex-slave. The noose is around the American government, her officials, her military leaders, her economic and financial planners. The whole of the Western world is being choked, literally and figuratively, by this noose." Brother Salim said, "Brother, you hadn't seen nothing yet." He said, "The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that at the end of this devil time, he would go bananas and he would start trying to take out his revenge against God on God's people. And all of those who were not in the circle of safety would not have a God to call on that could protect them against this beast as he lashes out." It put my mind back to the sister who passed away in police custody, Sarah Bland. And she was talking to the police officer as if the police officer respected her first as a human being, and secondly, as if she was an American citizen. And we know in the founding of America, they specifically described that Americans were Caucasians, early settlers, those of European descent, not of the aboriginal nations or race. This is in the founding of America. So once we get this in our head, we can now say, we know why they treat us this way. We are refugees in America. Is that right? What did they describe those people in Louisiana and New Orleans doing, Katrina? Thousands of displaced people who had been there since slavery. How did CNN and Fox News and MSNBC describe those people? As refugees. Isn't that right? If I'm not right, you can correct me quickly. But this is how they look at you. You have no place. You have no home. So that's why the prophets were adamant that it takes a God who has more power than your oppressors to come and take from the oppressors everything that the oppressors hold or deem near or good to them and give you a home. Muhammad says that it was promised to you that God would give you heaven. Not that you were so worthy of it. Not that you earned it by right. You see, just by being a seed or a descendant of their word refugee means someone who has been forced, listen to this good, someone who has been forced to leave a country because of war or for religious or political reasons. One that flees, a person who flees to a foreign country or power to escape danger or persecution. So in their eyes, they're saying that you don't matter, you are not a citizen, and you were fleeing the persecution of the storm in the land of America. You have no home here, but God intends to give you a home. This is what we have to get in our head. America's economy is dying. She's lashing out. She's killing us. But some of you say, that's why the more impetus should be put on us, getting this and getting that and get. I'm not knocking none of what you're saying except for the way that you are saying it. Because some of you have good intentions. Some of you really are sincere in what you are trying to proceed with for the betterment of your people. But let me tell you, you can be sincere and be wrong. You understand? If you go throughout the fall of America, this is what I ask everyone. Go throughout the fall of America. Go throughout our Savior has arrived. Go throughout Message to the Black Man. And go throughout the theology of time. And even in How to Eat to Live, the theme is separation. But that theme has stipulations, right? As I was listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the other day, and I want you to pay close attention who are Muslims. And for those of you who are listening and are black but not proclaiming yourself to be Muslims, we know that you will one day accept it because you'll be forced to. I want you to pay close attention to. I was listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he was talking about how we must have separation or death. And as he was speaking to this matter, he kept referring back to the bylaws of the Nation of Islam, what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. This is the charter, the constitution, the preamble, right? The Bill of Rights. For the Aboriginal Black Nation here in America. And just like the white man upholds his bylaws, his preamble, his constitution, and his Bill of Rights, we too should dig into ours to know what we are promised and what we shall receive. If we don't understand the constitution of our nation, we can be exploited. Just as we don't understand the Constitution of America, and America is constantly exploiting the ignorance of our people. She has become the number one purveyor of violence around the world. She has become the number one purveyor of violence all across America, especially against her ex-slaves. She is revealed to be the blood shedder in the Bible, the mischief maker, because she sees no limits in shedding the blood of others to enforce her policy, her will, on you and I and all those who refuse to bow. But I want to give a little warning out to America today and to the white world in general that these are no longer the days of America, and these are no longer the days of the Caucasian world, as you are quickly learning through your economic signs, through your geopolitical and political signs, and your cultural demise. These are no longer the times where you can rule and you can put over your thought and culture on others. These are the days of Allah, and these are the days of the manifestation of God's purpose, His aims, and His will, without a doubt. And they will be accomplished regardless of all opposition, as the Quran tells us, that Allah gives this message over to a messenger. And He will prevail against all religions, though the polytheists be adverse. It doesn't matter who joins up against this truth. The truth is so powerful that every time it comes up against falsehood, it knocks the brains out of falsehood. We're in a time of change. And you are being indoctrinated with a new world. The white man hates talking about this. That's why he has, on one hand, he goes, as the Bible tells us, when God pronounces a thing, the devil goes around and he'll try to say it to demonize it in your eyesight. He'll build it up. And that's why you hear them constantly, they're against the new world order. But of course they are. Because the same people who are in this old world order, they want to rule in a new one. But they don't have the brain capacity to do this. Their brain is limited. And now we're moving into a new time of new thoughts, new ideas, new actions to bring in a new world, a new leadership. Right? This is where we are. Now, let's talk for a minute. Because we need to understand these things when we're looking at America's actions today, whether it be in Libya. Didn't we tell you they'd be forced back over there? What was the announcement a few days ago? The NATO nations are now sending ground troops back in Libya. Didn't we tell you that 2, 3, 4 years ago? Didn't we say it long before they attacked Syria? Look at the powder keg in the Middle East. Didn't we tell you that was going to happen? While you were focused on Ukraine, we said, no, 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 no. That would just be a bubbling point. You better look at North Africa and the Middle East, because this is the jump-off point for the freedom of the black nation globally and universally. Why? Because the law stretches the empire, exposes her hollowness, and shows the world that the empire and the emperor no longer has any clothes. So with all of this going on, she's lashing out at you at home. She's killing you. She's robbing you. And no matter where you go, if you're not in the spiritual circle of safety from a God who is well able to save you and me, you are in the hands of the beast. And the beast will do what beasts do. No matter how full the belly is of a lion, no matter how full the belly is of a crocodile or alligator, if they see prey, nature has it in them to stalk the prey and to take the prey when the prey is unaware. So going back to this Sarah Blanch thing, she was looking at it as though she enjoyed the same rights and freedoms that her white compatriots enjoy. The same as how the black people who were protesting, they were pepper sprayed. They were called thugs, right? CNN, NBC, MSNBC, Fox News reported them as rioters, as looters. But when it comes to men armed with guns, taking over federal buildings, which constitute a direct threat to federal authority and an act of war according to international law, these are compatriots. These are patriots. Not one bullet has been fired. Right? And they're occupying federal land, federal buildings. And you protest for rights that they claim to have given you. And you get killed and beaten and demonized. See, you see, she's the number one purveyor of violence the world over. She can't hide it because this is her nature. I'm going to play a couple short clips. Some of them old, some of them are new. But I want you to listen. Give me an ear for a second and just listen to these things, okay? Right here.
And finally, a year has passed since the U.S. police fatal shooting of unarmed black teenager Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. His death sparked a protest movement against police brutality and racial inequality. But the problems facing the African-American community and racial tensions in the U.S. have not been resolved. A new poll suggests that today, Americans see black-white relations in a more negative way than they have at any time in the past decade and a half.
on our kids. This is why we fight.
People in many parts of the United States are marking the first anniversary of the killing of an unarmed black teenager by a white police officer. The killing of 18-year-old Michael Brown by Officer Darren Wilson triggered massive demonstrations. The protest movement gained fresh momentum in November when a grand jury failed to charge Wilson. A Justice Department probe found evidence of widespread racial bias in the Ferguson Police Department. Over the past year, African Americans across the United States have joined the chorus of protests, drawing attention to their grievances, which range from police brutality, racial profiling, and a host of other social injustices. But as the massive and sometimes violent protests have gripped national headlines in the past year, so have new cases of police brutality against blacks. There were numerous high-profile cases of white officers fatally shooting unarmed black people or treating them violently in public, even after Brown's death sparked a nationwide debate. Shockingly enough, on Saturday, an American white police officer in training shot and killed an unarmed black college student in Texas right on the eve of Brown's death anniversary. The college football player was shot multiple times during a struggle with officers. Many observers believe that police violence against African Americans is deeply rooted in the U.S. history of colonial slavery.
What African people are suffering from is colonial oppression, colonial terror, whether it's at the hands of police or white vigilantes. Until we win that understanding, we're not going to get very far in terms of progress on the ground. Wherever you look, African people are colonized, they are oppressed, they are some of the poorest people that we see, and that is a direct result of a history of colonial enslavement and oppression, which continues up into this day in the form of mass incarceration, in the form of monetary exploitation like we saw in Ferguson.
More protests and campaigns have been organized to mark the anniversary of Michael Brown's death, but given the deep-rooted injustices that have become part of the American culture over decades, black people seem to have a tough road ahead in their push for real change.
Now, let's get to the heart of the matter. Over in Asia, you see the nations are rising up against America. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that those are our brothers. When you look at Africa, you see that they're rising up against white oppression. When you look at South and Central America and the Isles of the Pacific and the Caribs, they're rising up against white oppression. When you look at the youth here in America who can no longer stand to bear the brunt of white oppression, they're rising up. The dry bones are rattling. But still no life is in them. You understand? This is your prophecy coming into fulfillment. But what Allah is doing by letting this devil loose, remember that in the Bible, in Job, the book teaches you that God took the heads from around and told, go save their lives. How could Satan save the life of the righteous? By manifesting himself through his policies and actions and revealing himself so fully that you get a chance to look, see, taste, smell, touch, and hear this beast in human form. So much so that you cannot deny it even if you wanted to, that this man and his people, his culture and his nation, his world and his system are all against you and are predatory by nature. The number one purveyor of violence is America, and she is the bloodshedder. So Muhammad teaches us, Allah hates the wicked American whites and threatens to remove them from the face of the earth. Since white Americans and the white race in general have deceived the entire world of the black people and their brethren, brown, red, and yellow, Allah now is causing these people to wake up and see the white race as it really is, the created enemy of the darker people. Who stoked intentions over there? They're all making something about North Korea detonating a hydrogen bomb. But if I'm not mistaken, America detonated hundreds of them. France detonated dozens of them. Great Britain detonated dozens of them. Russia detonated hundreds of them. So what's the problem with North Korea detonating one? That means that they cannot threaten or bribe or arm twist North Korea. You understand? This is more about power than it is about international law. How dare you buck up against the white system? This is what they tell China in their own neighborhood. That's just like somebody living. You living in one state and somebody living in Canada telling you how to run your block. What you can and can't do in your block. You can't do X, Y, and Z, and everywhere in their city they got it going on. Do you see the madness in these people? And they say, China, we want a prosperous rise in China so long as it does not disturb the balance of power, the global order, what they're saying, their power, their influence, their wealth, and their might shall not be challenged at any point for China to rise. Do you see this? And at home in America, you're a refugee until they want you to go fight Saddam. Then we're Americans. Then they want you to go fight Muammar Gaddafi. We're Americans. Then they want to post you over in Japan to fight China. We're Americans. They want you to go to Africa and bomb your own brothers. We're Americans. But when you come back home, what the hell do you have to show for you being an American except time in prison, unemployment, a split-up family, and you're going crazy as hell trying to maintain your sanity in this mixed-up crazy world? You telling me that America is not the blood shedder? You've lost your flipping mind. Brothers and sisters, listen to this good.
The U.S. police in Cleveland have pepper sprayed predominantly black activists attending a conference on police brutality against African Americans. The officers also made some arrests, including a 14-year-old boy, after the weekend convention wrapped up. The national convention of the Movement for Black Lives began on a Friday to draw attention to police interaction with black communities in the wake of a raft of incidents involving police and African citizens. The chain of events began in the summer of 2014 and the shooting death of Michael Brown by Ferguson officer and has continued to this day.
Now, I stopped there specifically because they say this movement started in Missouri. And this is where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that chain of event would take place. My vision is called. Brother Rashid will share that with you if he gets a chance to. But this brother had a vision. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that was the right vision that brother had. And now we're seeing it escalate to Philadelphia, to Baltimore, to L.A., over on the East Coast, down in the South, more so in the Southwest. There's uprising now. The dry bones are rising and rattling and shaking with their fists in the air talking about Black Lives Matter, but they're going at it the wrong way. Yes, Black Lives Matter, but they don't get to the core of what would bring life to the entire structure of the dry bones. Therefore, the dry bones had to be beaten by the winds of war, by the winds of abuse and prosecution and persecution, according to the Bible and the prophecy. Because every bone was going about it the wrong way. They were reaching for self, yet they were truly ignorant to the process of what they were reaching for. So God had to unleash the beast on them to make them have a reappraisal of the time and what must come in this time. They would be forced. And after they were beaten, it said every bone connected in his right place. The toe bone connected to the foot bone, right? The toe didn't try to connect with the elbow. The neck didn't try to be the skull. The eye socket didn't try to be the knee. According to the scripture, they all connected right. After the beatings, after the prosecution, after the persecution, this forced them to turn to themselves because they could no longer trust anyone but God who had promised to deliver them. Don't you see all of that taking place today? In the midst of America spilling your blood, in the midst of this beast laying in wait everywhere she can or everywhere he can to rob you blind, to demonize you when you resist, and to kill you or to beat you. She is the number one purveyor of violence. If you don't think so, just listen to this.
Now to Austin, Texas, where jaywalking is apparently seen as a heinous crime. Take a look at this viral video that shows how a bunch of cops charged towards two African Americans and beat them for the alleged petty offense.
Whoa, 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 what the f***, bro? What the
f***? You took your hell. What the f***? Stop!
Recording!
Stop recording, Rolando!
I'm recording. Get out!
What the
f***,
man? What the
f***? What the f*** are y'all doing?
Stop. Stop resisting. Stop. Just be still.
I'm not doing
be
nothing,
still.
Man.
Be still. Be
what
still.
The f***?
Be still.
Okay,
be
I'm your down. Head. I'm down, bro.
Give me your
down.
Head.
I'm down, bro.
What is going on right now?
They're not doing anything. They just
for what?
No reason.
Well, they're doing their
you
job.
You didn't know anything. Look, this guy has all his drugs on him, and you're fucking my friend.
What did I do, man? What did I do?
Where are you from?
What did I do?
Nothing. He didn't do nothing.
You didn't do anything, man.
Please help me. What did I do?
What are you going to do with him?
Take him to jail.
You see that? Two black guys walking down the street. Police bum rushed them, and the excuse was they jaywalked. Beat them up, arrested them, and charged them for jaywalking. If you go throughout the cities across America in the black communities, everywhere you go, you'll see a sheriff or a police officer there. As I said on one show, the police department was made for the plantations to keep the slaves in line. You can go Google what I'm telling you, black man and black woman. I'm not making this stuff up. And they derived their authority by the rich white people giving them a badge to prosecute and persecute the ex-slaves or the slaves at the time. They're just carrying on what was founded in their organization. Go to the black communities. You're getting harassed in your own communities, right? They're talking down to you, talking at you, disrespecting your mothers, your sisters, your daughters, your brothers, your sons, and your cousins. Then you go over to Lily Valley, the white people area. Go over to Scenic Heights over here. And you won't hardly see a police officer over here. And that's where the dope and the meth and the murders and the crack is being smoked, pushed, and sold. Do you see? The system itself is inherently wrong. And the police and the sheriffs are the enforcers of that system. So that makes them, no matter how they try to do right, some of them, inherently, they're wrong. You understand? That goes to some of you who are trying to be righteous. If you go about it in the wrong way at the wrong time, you can end up on the wrong end of God's destruction. Instead of you being in a safety zone, you will put yourself in harm's way because you're trying to carry out instructions the way you deem best, the way you feel, the way you think. But that time has come to an end. God will force you to your knees. Isn't that what he's doing to everybody? What are the people crying out, falling out in the street? Oh, my son, oh, my daughter. They're on their knees crying because they have lost a loved one. Look at the white man. He's on his knees asking just by my debt just a little bit longer. God is forcing every knee to bow. And they go back and say the money markets started to fall in 1971 when Richard Nixon took the world off the gold and silver standard. It's exactly what Elijah Muhammad says. They go back and say that there's no gold or silver backing for the currency and all fiat currencies will eventually collapse. That's what Elijah Muhammad says. They're saying that ever since 1914 marked the end of the white man's world when they instituted all of these central banks. That's what Elijah Muhammad says. So you're being forced to your knees and you're being forced to confess. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Allah Master Farad Muhammad is God and that Elijah Muhammad is his last apostle. Isn't that what's going on? If I'm wrong, 347 989-0855. You are getting a close glimpse, a close look at the number one purveyor of violence the globe over. It is America that prophesied bloodshed. Her consumption for shedding of blood is insatiable. And no matter how you try, you can't stop it. Now, look at this. I want you to listen to this right here.
U.S. President Barack Obama's job approval rating hits a record low. A new poll shows only 38% of Americans now approve of the president's job performance. A Fox News poll shows a majority of Americans believe the Obama administration has mostly failed at growing the economy, creating jobs, improving health care, and the country's image. Based on the poll results, 54% of Americans disapprove of Obama's job performance. That's up 1% from last month. The poll was based on 1,002 randomly chosen registered voters nationwide. Let's go to Washington and talk to Dr. Randy Short, human rights activist. Welcome to the program, sir. Doctor, just how will President Obama go down in American history?
Well, he's going to go down as one of the most well-loved or respected by many once people better understand what has happened. I'm amazed that his poll numbers are so high. Given the racism within the society where people would be so inclined to hate him just because he's black, although not an African American, and then his social policies, which are cruel, you would think that his numbers would be as low as President Bush in the 20s. So the American population is very gullible. They tend to be caught up in how people look or what they've been told to think about someone versus studying his policies. If they did that, his numbers would be far lower. Look at this war we're almost in with Russia. I mean, a reckless man, reckless policies against the poor. It's shameful.
You spoke about racism there. Just how much does gender and racial discrimination determine the prospects for job seekers?
It's significant. Here in Washington, D.C., you'd be amazed at the number of blacks with PhDs that are homeless and are hungry. And whereas you have whites who are illegal in the country from places like Russia who have jobs, over an indigenous African American who has advanced education and cannot find work. Racism defines American life. Gender is less an issue for white women than it is for African American women. We have to remember America's based on slavery and white supremacy, and whereas slavery as a practice is not here, the idea of certain people being inferior and to be treated without human rights is a norm.
And very briefly, will Obama be able to fix the current state of the economy?
Oh, it's not his. I don't think that's his agenda. The people who handle or control or brought Obama to power seem to be determined to destroy the currency and to destroy the infrastructure of this country and make America a third world country in terms of how people are paid, and then rebuild the country where we have slave wages and prisons where you have like millions of people who work for almost nothing.
Indeed. Randy Short, human rights activist from Washington. As always, thanks for your thoughts, sir.
The land of the free, huh? Look at this. Comprising 5% of the global population, yet 25% of the global prison population, and 80 to 90% of the prison population of America is black. Land of the free, huh? Equality. That's your equality for you who love your beast. That's your equality. And as long as you stay amongst the lions, prepare to be looked at as prey and preyed upon. So God comes in the person of one master, Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever, and raises up a messenger to lead you in the right way. The right way. The right way. I'm going to say it again. To lead you in the right way. Why must the messenger be raised up to lead you in the right way? Because everybody else who has stood up have led you in the wrong way. So God makes a messenger from himself, for his people, to guide to the right way. Isn't that what they tell us? Oh Allah, guide us to the right way, to the right path. So God answers the prayers of Abram or Ibrahim, and he sends a messenger or raises up a messenger. But the book tells us that that messenger would be rejected. even though that light, that great light, shined in the midst of you, you did not recognize it because you had walked in darkness and continued to grow darkness, even though you had seen such a mighty light. So God tells us in the Bible that before this great and dreadful day that we now see upon us in America and around the world, because they're telling you the markets are collapsing. They've never seen debt like this before. They've never seen the situation like this in trade before. They've never seen so many nations with so many problems, and they've never seen the geopolitical sphere like this. They've never seen nature rebelling in such a way. The book says, before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah. Now, if this is that great and dreadful time, then what was supposed to precede that great and dreadful time? Huh? Common sense. We have to look at these things because this is your Bible. So God says, I will send you Elijah, and he shall prepare the way before me. Right? He would come with healing in his wings. Well, some of us were suffering, and we still suffer from all untold things, being in the atmosphere of Yaqub. But Elijah Muhammad gives us a way of how to eat to live, spiritually and physically. So he helps us to cure these ailments. He helps us to be respected of men and women. He stands us up, washes us up, cleans us up, so that the whole world would respect those people who had fought in the mire of Western civilization. He had prepared the way for God. And now we're seeing God, through his work, ravaging America and the Western world. The number one purveyor of violence the world over is America. Then followed by the European. Now think about this. Let's go to something. You've heard the clips. They beat these boys for jaywalking. They choke slam a man for saying, excuse me. The police shot a black man for looking at him. Doesn't that remind you of way back when? Ain't nothing changed but the dates. Because the guy was looking at him. Well, I would have said, you wouldn't have known me looking at you if you weren't looking at me. But this is how it is. You're supposed to submit, boy, or else I'm going to do you in and boss in the courthouse, boss in the county commission, boss in the mayor's office, boss in the state attorney's office, boss up there in the Capitol. They all going to bag me, regardless of your audio, your video, or how many witnesses in the neighborhood. Think of how much disrespect they show you, black man and black woman, when they come in your community, brutalize and victimize your children, and the whole community stands out there and watches this, and they give their deposition to the courts, and the court throws out hundreds, even thousands of depositions, justify the ruthlessness of the police officer. That is some of the highest forms of disrespect for an entire community that one could have. But we don't look at this like this. We don't look at it. We go back. They beat us, we go back. Then we go into their colleges and go and get a job from them, asking them to provide for us. You see the madness of this? This is why there's so much going on. It takes a God to free you, because everybody else has their own agenda and their own time. But the book tells you that these are the days of Allah. Well, we all are Allah. Yeah? But not in the sense that we can force our will upon the people. Therefore, we need a stronger Allah, a supreme Allah, to put his will over on the oppressor's will, to break the back of the oppressor and to free us, just like it was done with Moses, the Israelites, Pharaoh in ancient Egypt, right? This is what we need today. The same thing is going on. Egypt was a sign of what was coming today. And they brutalize and vandalize and scandalize you. If you stand up to the police officer, they run your record, demonizing you in the media. they never run the records of the police and how they have brutalized and victimized others. When they put you in the news media, there's so many captions up there that almost lead to your guilt on TV. But when they put their brethren up there, it's a different story. You a thug, they're patriots, right? You protest with no guns, you get pepper sprayed, demonized, beat up, shot up, put in jail. They armed themselves and dared a government to come against them on federal property, housing federal buildings. And what happened? No. We can't just go in like that. We've got to talk to them. This is the only way to keep the stand down, keep everything on an even keel. We've got to give them a little time. They didn't give you a little time. And Obama, as he talked about Sandy Hook, with his tears running down his eyes, did he mention Chicago? Did he mention Washington, D.C., the city where he's at right now, with the high murder rate and crime rate? Did he mention all of the blacks that have been misused and abused and killed by the police officers that are taking orders from the cities, that take orders from the states, that are under federal jurisdiction? Not one tear shed for him, for her, for them, for us, but for the Sandy Hook white victims. The people who are in Obama's cabinet who are black, while he was standing up to that podium, they should have all left out the room, got a big cowboy boot, put it on the foot of the one with the biggest foot, walked right up behind him and booted his behind over the podium, and then say, "That's on us, nigga," and walk out. Because that's what he's acting like. No remorse, no compassion for you. But he has plenty of understanding for people who are arming themselves. Listen to this.
What do you think the conversations are right now within the federal government and within local law enforcement about what to do next? You know, we're looking at pictures from last night and from yesterday. We don't have anything new from there this morning. It's still early in the morning there. But we know that there are at least a dozen, maybe more, people on this property. Presumably, some law enforcement's either on the way or already there.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen, hopefully we won't do what had happened at the Bundy Ranch last year sometime or a couple years ago, is that we don't go out there with a large force, because that's exactly...
I'm stopping there for 1 minute because I want to bring a point home to this video, this audio right here. I want you to listen closely. This 2 minutes and 27 seconds. Listen to how they describe this guy. This guy's been interviewed, and look at how, when asked a question about discrimination, look how he puts it towards the black people and calling rioting and looting, and then these are patriots. I want you to listen closely to this black man and black woman. And this is aired on CNN. This is aired on these networks across the globe. You a thug. You a looter. You a rioter whenever you want to stand up and get justice for yourself and your own kind. But these other people, we must have patience with them, because they're armed patriots and they are civilized, unlike the black counterparts who are savages. That's what they're saying. Listen closely to this. For real, I want you to pay close attention.
What do you think the conversations are right now within the federal government and within local law enforcement about what to do next? You know, we're looking at pictures from last night and from yesterday. We don't have anything new from there this morning. It's still early in the morning there. But we know that there are at least a dozen, maybe more, people on this property. Presumably, some law enforcement's either on the way or already there.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen, hopefully we won't do what had happened at the Bundy Ranch last year sometime or a couple years ago, is that we don't go out there with a large force, because that's exactly what they're looking for. And you know, we've got to negotiate this through. And I think a key part is going to be tomorrow, what happens at the federal courthouse. And I know there was a quote that you guys had picked up from the U.S. attorney out there in Oregon, and hopefully calmer heads will prevail here. And the last thing we need is some type of large confrontation, because that's when stuff goes bad. And I think in this particular instance, if we just wait them out, see what they've got to say, that eventually they're all going to go home. I mean, people are just starting to show up now, and this group could get fairly large with supporters as this news spreads. spreads out throughout the country. And hopefully if we just sit back, wait them out, things will calm down and everybody will go home.
You know what's going to happen next, though. You know the presidential candidates are going to get asked about this.
Right.
You know President Obama is going to be asked about this. You know it's going to become politicized. And we've already heard from activists online, many of them, I've been reading from them all morning, to say if these were Black Lives Matter protesters or if these were peaceful Muslim Americans, they'd be treated very differently by law enforcement. Do you think there's truth to that argument?
We're not talking about, I think you had mentioned it in the opening, because this is a very rural area. It is out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
What are they actually doing? They're not destroying property. They're
yeah,
not
no
looting
shots
fired. Anything. Right, exactly. I mean, you know, there's a whole separate situation going on as to exactly why they're there, and that'll be worked out through the legal process. But I think now that they've taken over this location out at the Fish and Wildlife, this brings in the federal side. And I know the federal government has learned over the years how to deal with these types of incidences.
Mm.
And hopefully Fish and Wildlife will call in their federal partners, which I know they will, and sit down and figure out how to resolve this as peacefully as possible.
You hear that? You see the contempt, and you sit there and you listen to it on TV and you just shake your head and you keep going. The contempt that they show for you. Well, this is out in nowhere. But it's federal land. Those are federal buildings. The Black Lives are not occupying these buildings. But we're supposed to wait them out, talk to them, negotiate. But why isn't anyone saying talk to Black Lives or the blacks who are, now I'm not just talking about the organization Black Lives Matter. I'm talking about the people who are out there, who are truly out there screaming for justice. They're not talking about talk to them. They're not talking about negotiate with them. They're not talking about understanding the problems of those. So some of you say, well, this is the justification for us to separate. This is. But we have to do it right, and we have to do it under the guidance of Almighty God Allah. Now, listen to what Messenger Muhammad says, and this is about the laws, and this is about separation also. We know that if you were to give us all we ask for in this government at the present time, we know that 2 years from now, the next ruler could condemn it. See, he's talking about if they give us this or if we go out there and purchase this and we go out, the devil can take it. Eminent domain laws. Things have, you have to think these things through. You have to be strategic in your thinking. You know, a brother was telling me, he said, you know, the Malachi York had, I think, 300-400 acres of land in the Atlanta suburbs. The devil took it. The building. The devil took it. In other black movements, the devil took it. This is what I'm saying. This is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you have to wait on my God to act in time when he will act. You can't go before the God acting lest you get into God's way and become a hindrance to his purpose and aims. Let's go a little further. Think over how evil this government is. They make up retractable laws. Do you hear what he said? He's talking about their laws and the way laws are. They allow you to buy land. They allow you to do this. But they are retractable. And any time a devil gets fed up with it, he can go take it or change it or whatever to his benefit. When they're talking about, we all have freedom of expression. Well, we see that the Bundy people or the people out there that's occupying the federal building, they have the freedom of expression. Did Sarah Bland have it? What about those other brothers and sisters who were killed and murdered? What about the students protesting and the people from Black Lives Matter protesting? They don't have that same liberty, that same right, that same freedom, right? Why? Because the laws are retractable when concerning you. Merriam-Webster Dictionary talks about retract. Listen what the word retract, which is the root of retractable. To pull something back into something larger than usually coveted. To say that something you said or wrote is not true or correct. To take back something such as an offer or promise to draw back in. So now Muhammad says that these laws that you're basing what you're going to do off are retractable laws. So he says, over here if you want, or they can draw it up if they want. If they think it's going to help you, they draw it up. That shows you how evil the white man is against black people. You cannot trust them as a friend. You cannot trust them to live up to their promises. If their promises are good or in your favor, they won't do it. This is what he said. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. This is what I'm advocating. This is what I'm teaching. This is what I'm pushing. This is what I'm showing you. You can take it and accept it, or you can leave it and reject it. Muhammad goes further and says this. The Holy Quran also teaches us that God used snow, rain, wind, hail, earthquakes, and fire against former wicked people. Is America any better than the people that we read about in the history that God destroyed? No, she is not as good. These people were not as wicked as the American people. Now think about this. America is the most wicked nation ever in creation. So she's not to be trusted. She's never honored a contract, a law, or a treaty that she's ever signed. Never. These brothers and sisters, go Google what I'm telling you. She's never lived up to any international treaty, any treaty signed with other people. She's never lived up to the full content of those treaties. So how can you expect her to honor you breaking away in her own land as a threat to her sovereignty and as a pillar of opposition to her rule? As the messenger said in one lecture, he said, no, this is not the right way to go after it. She won't allow that because this would be, and I'm paraphrasing this part here, he said, because this would be an affront to her rule. I'm telling you what he's saying. I'm proving to you what he's saying. I'm showing you what the devil is doing. If you don't like me, that's good. That's cool. That's cool. Because it's never been about me. It's been about getting the message of God as he delivered it to his messenger, and as his messenger delivered that message to the, at the time, the 22 million of us, which is now 68 million here in America. It's about the message to the black man and woman in America. It's about to the indoctrination of you with God's purpose and aims that you may save yourself in a time of great trial and tribulation. This thing here, I want you to listen closely. I'm just going to play this. This is just an offbeat player, right? I wasn't going to even play this clip, but listen closely.
If you are successful in acquiring land or territory for a separate nation, what kind of government would it have, and how do you expect to acquire this nation's new land? Do you expect it to be given to you, or do you expect to purchase it? If you don't want to acquire land for people, don't think it should be used in no such time as to apply. I'm asking the government to give the land to her slaves.
Stop right there. This interview, the man asked him, he said, Mr. Muhammad, he's talking about self-governing and going to yourself and separating. He said, and you were talking about acquiring land. How the man specifically asked this question. How will you go about that? Will you purchase the land or will you ask the government? And Muhammad says, I'm asking the government to give me the land. They required to give it to me. This is what he said. Now, some of you don't want to hear that because it doesn't compute. It doesn't fit in your little block box. But that's what the messenger said, and I can point to it because I can prove it. I can play it for you. What I'm trying to get into the head of the masses is this. Messenger Elijah Muhammad, in the midst of all of this, and this is tied into the bloodshed because we got to know that this is the state of the exodus, the separation. how this goes about. And brothers and sisters, if your phone rings, don't answer it. Please give me a few more minutes of your time. All right? Thank you. If you look at the history of Moses, and you then you get a good idea of what we are to expect. Pharaoh, according to the Bible, would not have never allowed the ex-slaves to separate in his land. In fact, he was doing everything he could to indoctrinate them to his religion, his way of life, and into his government so that he can make them a part of his kingdom and spit in the face of God. But God told Moses, don't go. Go down there and tell your people. Don't integrate with Pharaoh's people, because integration brings about assimilation, and I want to destroy them. You go give them instructions of how to stay away from Pharaoh, even in the midst of Pharaoh, and when the time comes, I'm going to bring Pharaoh down, and I'm going to give you that land of milk and honey that I promised to give to you. This is what he said. But Moses had to contend with the elders, who wanted to do it their way, who thought that they knew best. Isn't that right? Isn't this the Bible? Isn't that the history? That's why the messengers say, go look at the history of ancient Egypt, Moses, Pharaoh, and the Israelites, because it serves as a forerunner to you and I. So in the midst of the bloodshed, these things must take place. We must be in the midst of these things to prove our worthiness to be brought out of this, as Muhammad teaches us and our Savior has arrived. This stuff must take place, regardless of whether you like it or not, even in the midst of the blood shadow. Now, if you don't think that America is the blood shadow, listen to Hillary Clinton laughing and bragging about the moment they found out Brother Gaddafi was killed.
So, I mean, that is the land of unconfirmed reports.
Yes. We came, we saw, he died.
Did it have anything to do with your visit?
No, I'm sure it did.
You see that sociopath? That's the mind, that's the joking of a sociopath. A sociopath is a person who is, well, I'll say, it's inherent in U.S. government. That's what I can say to you. I want you to listen to this, too. This is Madeleine Albright, her predecessor, talking about the situation of the loss of life during America's wars. I want you to pay close attention to this. I guess the devil won't let that one play. Well, they asked her about the millions of displaced Iraqis, the hundreds of thousands of lives lost in the Iraqi war, the millions who died during the sanctions on Iraq. And she said, we believe. See, she's speaking as part of a movement, a government, a culture. We believe that the price was certainly worth it. Isn't that something? To take life like this, this is the blood shedder, and they're showing you this. And yet you're still in love with them. You still love them. And then you go back home with your Kennedy picture on your wall and your Martin Luther King picture on your wall, and you talk about it in your church, oh, we are overcome. I love Martin King. You love him because they only show you one part of King. They don't show you the King that came and met with Elijah Muhammad and then said he had been to the mountaintop. They don't tell you that King who says, well, we tried, but we can't get along with these people. They don't tell you about the King who bore witness that Elijah Muhammad is the messenger of God. They don't tell you about that one, do it. They want you to believe that King was a pacifist. But listen what King himself had to say concerning America, the blood shedder, the number one purveyor of violence.
A time comes when silence is betrayal. That time has come for us, even when pressed by the demands of inner truth. Men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war. and I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. What do they think as we test out our latest weapons on them, just as the Germans tested out new medicine and new tortures in the concentration camps of Europe? Now that is little left to build on save bitterness. We are met by deep but understandable mistrust. To speak for them is to explain this lack of confidence in Western words, and especially their distrust of American intentions now. The world now demands a maturity of America that we may not be able to achieve. This way of settling differences is not just. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Somehow this madness must cease. We must stop now. I speak as one who loves America, to the leaders of our own nation. The great initiative in this war is ours. The initiative to stop it must be ours.
Ha, ha, ha. You hear what he calls? America is the greatest purveyor of violence on earth. Even he saw that. Even he spoke on that. Even he stood against that. America dropping her bombs here and dropping them there and testing out new weapons while people are suffering and living in ghettos and are packed like rats in cages and stuff with each other in small apartments, cannot even buy food or can't afford health care, but she can invest trillions in a nuclear triad. She can invest hundreds of billions in an unjust war in Afghanistan and billions more to prop up her troops in Asia and billions more to prop up her troops in Europe and billions upon billions of more to recolonize Africa. She is the number one purveyor of violence the globe over. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 310, you on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. All right. Well, brothers and sisters, I tried to bring 310 in, but I want to say this to you all. When you leave here, know that God is after America. I want to read this quote to you, finish reading this quote to you before we leave off the air. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, is America any better than the people we read about in the history that God destroyed? No, she is not as good. These people were not as wicked as the American people. Earthquakes can destroy towns and cities instantly. This is what's going on in America, right? America is in the grip of divine judgment. So when you see the wildfires, the droughts, the flash floods, and all the earthquakes in Alabama and Georgia and everywhere that you've never seen them before, snowstorms. And in the north, where it's supposed to be cold, it's hot, and in the south, where it's supposed to be hot, it's cold. The book tells you when you can't tell the seasons, know that the end is near. So Muhammad goes further and says, America is in the position toward her once slaves, the so-called Negro, as Pharaoh, listen to me good, as Pharaoh was with Israel as his slave. She is in this position because of the injustice done to the American so-called Negro slave, brought to America over 400 years ago and refuses to let them go free. They only say that you are free, knowing within that you are not able to leave them without anything. But the injustices continue to increase. bondage. This does not mean Israel. This means the present black people, the members of their black nation who have and are fulfilling their prophecy. God in the person of Master Farad Muhammad will not be defeated. The more evil, deceiving, tricking, and making of false promises to the American so-called Negro only increases America's divine chastisement, her doom. Now listen to this part. America knows that her trouble lies in her mistreatment of the black man, the so-called Negro. But she is too wicked to give up tricking the Negro and deceiving him on false promises. She just cannot stop. The opportunity is too open. And she thinks that there is no one to hinder her. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you for about 3 more minutes of your time. Let me finish this quote, because we got to see where this, he says, she just cannot stop. The opportunity is too open. And she thinks that there is no one to hinder her. But God has chosen us to be his people. And he delights in fighting the enemy. Now, listen, you see, God chose us to be his people. So now it's incumbent upon him, because he made the promise to Abraham and to Moses and to the other prophets and apostles and messengers to come to our aid, to come to our defense in the latter days. If he doesn't do this, then he's a liar, and God can do everything but lie and fail. So Muhammad says, according to the history of the former people, he delighted himself by going forth against them when they exceeded the limit. So it is with America. They must be separated. You hear this? Must. The word must is contractually obligated to do something. You understand? When it's must, you have no choice. The word must means be commanded or requested to, right? Be compelled by physical necessity. Be obliged to. Be required to by law, custom, or moral conscience. So if God must come to our aid, and he must come to our defense, and he must separate us, then it is contractually obligated to the God to do that which he promised he would do. Or else we can say that he's not all-powerful. He's not trustworthy. You understand? So Muhammad goes further and he says, they must be separated. America will not agree to see the Negro separated from her. Listen to this good, this part here. This is where I'm getting to. This is for all of you who think you know everything. And you think your path is the right path. For a second, this is your brother here. In all humility, I'm saying, listen, if what I'm saying is wrong, prove it. But if what I'm saying is holding weight, listen. Muhammad says, America will not agree to see the so-called Negro separated from her. Stop right there. If you are talking about separating in America, on your own property, you're making the messenger, the message, the prophets, the prophecies, and God to be liars. He says, America will not agree to see the so-called, the Negro separated from her until, see, there's a moment there. See, she's going to try to prevent everything up to a certain moment, just like it was with Pharaoh. Until what? Let Elijah Muhammad tell you the break point for America letting you go. She suffered divine punishment as Pharaoh suffered. The same thing that other evil nations suffered before them is now coming upon this people. You got to understand that America will not allow you to separate because you serve as a protective hedge for her. When God gets at her like he's doing now, and as the plagues and the chastisements and the judgments increase, and her wallet becomes thinner, and her economic clout becomes smaller, and her influence continues to wane, and she suffered defeat after defeat on the battlefield, one calamity after the other. She's going to look just like Pharaoh had. He had to call in all of his counselors and men and say, why is all of this happening? And then when they did an inner search, they realized that it was those prisoners, those slaves that they were holding. And Pharaoh said, Moses, get them and be gone. Right? What Elijah Muhammad says, they must be separated. America will not agree to see the Negro separated from her until she suffered divine punishment as Pharaoh suffered. As the blood-letting and the blood-shedding commence, as Muhammad says, there will be blood up to the horse's bridle. We're seeing that now. As the more judgments set in, look up and prepare. Smile. Your redemption is nigh. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation and upliftment and redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, and the billions around the world, I want to say to you all humbly, with love and passion, stay strong. Become immersed in Elijah Muhammad that you can overcome this. Brother Rashid, I'll call you. Brother Mikhail, I'll call you. I'm handling some personal affairs at this moment, but I will get with you, brothers, and may every one of you be blessed to enter into the hereafter, and may every one of you shout for joy that your Savior has come in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day the rosy day.